Hey, neighborhood, your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right, and now there's even more ways to take part in the community. Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards, and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience. Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
Another Sunday, another pay-per-view.
Hey, hello, how are ya? You're joining us on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. If you're listening on iTunes, Podomatic, Glork Normal, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, we do appreciate it all the same. But yeah, you can listen to these shows live right after these pay-per-views, twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV, just like you can every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. And it's even more fun if you do, because I know that there weren't a ton of people that were all jazzed up about WWE Stomping Grounds, but it was a good show.
Yeah.
It was as good a show as they put on this year, pay-per-view wise. Like compared to like WrestleMania, you know what I mean? But like,
yeah, well, they had two of them.
Yeah, you know, other than those, which are like the actual max effort shows, you know, this was as good as it gets for them right now. I think what we're definitely seeing is, so like, look, we've talked a lot Wednesday night, 8 o'clock, right back here on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV about what does competition even mean, and what is, you know, how much do people even care? And we talked to Dolph Ziggler on this show last year, and he basically was just like, yeah, we know that other things exist, but we're kind of in a bubble. And then we talked to Kofi Kingston earlier this year, and he kind of says, like, you know, we know what's going on out there. You know what I mean? Right. Like, he knows what Cody's doing. He said it by name. We didn't have to, you know, push him too hard. And so what I think you're starting to see, I don't know if you saw it on Twitter today, but Seth Rollins went online and he said, we're the best pro wrestling on the planet, period. And then Okada came out like 3 hours later and he said, best pro wrestling on the planet, period. And then Tama Tonga came out and was like, we're the best goddamn pro wrestling in the galaxy and you know it. And and then Roman Reigns came out and was basically like, he elaborated on it. And there was an interesting little Twitter war, you know, between guys today that, like, look, and then Rollins even came back after a bunch of other people were, you know, responded, and he even said, you have, you know, find me somebody, and this was a direct shot across the bow at the quote-unquote the others.
Yeah, right.
When he said, find me somebody who's as good as I am and has to do it as often as I do. And it's like, well, there's your trump card if you're a WWE guy, right?
That came first.
Yeah, there's your ace in the hole, is that you go like, yeah, Okada probably is
pound for pound better.
Sure, but he doesn't have to perform every night. Twice a month. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, does it twice a month. Seth Rollins does it three times a week. So it is interesting. And so the reason I bring that up specifically is because I think tonight was one of those nights where you kind of look at the roster efforting. You know what I mean? Where I think they went out there, and I think there was a little hitch in their giddy up.
They had something to tonight.
I think they had something to prove. Yeah. And I think there were a lot of people that were like, you know, and the other thing too is, there is, I mean, they know that that arena was half full.
Yep.
And they know that, like, look, if you're Seth Rollins, right, we see all these WWE 24s and all these things where Seth Rollins is like, this is my childhood dream, and I've always wanted to be the lead quarterback for the WWE and all that stuff. And it's like, awesome, no problem.
Now you are.
Right, you are. And I am not, believe me, so don't even. I'm not drawing a straight line here. But you are also the head quarterback for a building that's half full.
Right.
And, like, look, it is not because Seth Rollins is the champion. Not at all. But at the same time, like, yeah, if you're Rollins, you might be looking around going, like, God damn it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm the quarterback of the Cowboys in the 2000s. You know what I mean?
Right,
like, that
right.
kind of idea where it's just, like, this doesn't feel right. And so, yeah, if you're Seth Rollins, you're those guys, and you went, like, yeah, you guys, quite frankly, let's just be real about it. You didn't draw tonight. You know what I mean? Like, look, the company didn't or whatever didn't.
Yeah, the million reasons.
But there is something to be said about the fact that Vince McMahon can look at you and go, like, yeah, you can blame me all you want, but if you were super must-see, there'd be people here.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I'm not blaming this on Rollins or anybody in particular. I'm just saying, because it's much more WWE than the individuals that comprise the company. But I think tonight a bunch of people went out there and be like, I'll show you half full. You know what I mean? I'm going to go out there and give you, you know, there are going to be a bunch of people in the greater Tacoma area. They're going to wish they didn't stay home. I think they really went out there and tried to do that.
Yeah. Well, and that is just a product of overexposure You know, the WWE roster is overexposed. You know, I don't need to go to the Tacoma, Washington show because they're going to be back in 3 weeks.
They also suffered tremendously from the Saudi Arabia show.
Well, that's
that was, you know, I mean, just like I saw a big thing. It was 2 weeks ago. I'm fine. We'll talk to you all about it. We will take some calls. We are live for reason on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. 508-202-1NAI, 508-202-1624. We already get some calls coming in. What are your initial thoughts on, I was going to call it battlegrounds, stomping grounds. Everybody's got grounds, coffee grounds. What are your thoughts on WWE coffee grounds? And just sort of what are your takeaways before we jump into specifics?
You know, I don't think that this show needed to exist. Yeah. Especially if we're going to do it in 2 weeks anyway. You know, you just did the Saudi show. Make the Saudi show feel special. If you're going to do a Saudi Arabia show, don't have your and this is never going to happen, but this is the reason why Evolution should exist as a pay-per-view. You know, you have a thing with all the men, and then you have another show that's all the women.
And then June got everything it needed to accomplish.
And then, June got everything you needed to accomplish.
Or,
because this show, I didn't watch them. So, yeah, this was the first time I watched Kofi Kingston versus Dolph Ziggler. But, yeah, that match didn't need to be a rematch. Baron Corbin versus Seth Rollins didn't need to be a rematch.
I just feel like it's too much, because that's the thing is, we talked about this with football, where it was like, it used to just be Sundays, and then it was like Monday was the big game, and there's two games on Monday, and there's a couple games on Thursdays, and at the end of the year, they play on Saturdays, too, and it's just like, it's too much, you're taking away the special thing, and then I'm talking about adding, you know, making it an 18-game season, it's like, it's too much, the WWF was at its absolute prime when Raw was 2 hours, and that was it. Your window into this world was a pay-per-view once a month and 2 hours on Mondays. There was no SmackDown. There was no main event. There was no, you know, you could watch Sunday Night Heat if you had the itch. But that was when it was at its best, because it made you miss it, made it special. There's 3 hours on Monday and 2 hours on Tuesdays, and there's NXT you're supposed to care about, and the pay-per-views keep coming in Saudi Arabia.
Well,
the
live events.
Right, and so I do think that we've hit a wall, but living in this particular bubble, this was a good show.
Yeah.
And they deserve to hear that. We have a poll up. We're live for a reason, and we are at New Age Insiders on Twitter for these polls. Right now, my math, that's 70%. Would give this show some sort of an A or a B, but to be fair, 53% of the audience is giving it a B right now.
Yeah.
17% an A.
That's about right.
You can vote too. The poll will be up for a week, so even if you're listening on your commute or you're at the gym sometime this week, the poll is up. Go to @NewAgeInsiders and vote. Always vote. Always let us know what you think. We care. And speaking of which, there's somebody on the line. Let's take the call and hear what they thought about WWE Stomping Grounds.
All right. Anthony in California gave us a call. Just wants to talk about the pay-per-view as a whole. Go ahead, Anthony.
What's up, buddy?
Hey guys, I was just calling to say, I mean, the pay-per-view in full was actually pretty good. To me, in general, I just don't like, I've been a Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch fan, but ever since they've gotten the titles, to me, they've just been real stale with their promos and everything. Is just, like, I wanted Lacey Evans to win tonight, and I thought the Lacey Evans being added into the title match at the end was actually made it more entertaining. And I was waiting for Brock Lesnar to come out because I wanted him to win the title back. So, you know, to me in general, I just feel like their matches aren't as great as they could be, and their promos are just stale, and they're just saying the same thing over and over again. I want heel Seth Rollins back, and honestly, I'd rather have Ronda Rousey back, which I've always been a Ronda Rousey fan.
Awesome.
So I'm just waiting for her to come back. So, but other than that, the pay-per-view in general was actually really good. I wasn't expecting it to be bad, but it was a lot better than what a lot of people were saying about it.
I agree. I definitely think it defied my expectations. Anthony, thanks so much. There's a lot there, and I definitely want to talk about what Anthony called in about. Thank you so much, and you can call too, 508-202-1624, and we appreciate the call. So I definitely want to talk, because there's a lot in there, and I want to talk about it. So I
would hope so. Otherwise, we'd just be like,
it was just like, Anthony, no.
No.
Bad call.
Yeah.
No, so here's the thing. this is an oversimplified point that's been made a bunch of times, but there's something specific I want to branch off with it. Wrestling is always comprised better when there's a good guy chasing something rather than a good guy. The reason that Avengers Endgame wasn't 3 hours of, oh, we've got Thanos under control, you know what I mean? Right. Is because that's not a good movie, you know what I mean?
That's why it was so shocking when he got his head chopped off.
Right, in the beginning, and then you're like, oh, okay, I don't know what this movie's about at all. you know what I mean?
Right.
And so, yeah, and but there is something, though, there is a yeah, but to that, because I don't want to let Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch just completely off the hook, but I do think they have a yeah, but built in, and here's what it is. There is the factor that if you are a face champion, there's sort of a, okay, what's this book about? Because, again, no good book is about, and everything's fine. I'm in chapter 7, everything's still fine, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Where's the dragon, you know what I mean? But at the same time, there is something to be said about if you are genuinely captivating and overwhelmingly fun, you will overcome that more so than others. Yeah. I'm pointing to guys, and I know I'm going to point to all-timers, but when Stone Cold Steve Austin was the champion, you didn't go like, ha-ha, ho-hum. You just didn't.
Right.
When The Rock, even as a good guy, was the champion, you didn't ho-hum, you know what I mean?
Right.
There were parts of John Cena, believe it or not, where you liked it early.
Yes.
And so I don't think that, I think that Becky's lost a ton of momentum, but here's my yeah, but, and I wanted your opinion on this. Here's where I will let Seth Rollins off the hook. When Stone Cold Steve Austin was a babyface champion you weren't sick of, he was working The Rock or The Undertaker.
So
John Cena had Randy Orton or Triple H.
That was exactly going to be the point that I was going to
bring up. Seth Rollins worked Baron Corbin. Yeah, who cares?
The problem is that, and so because of the guys you just mentioned, right? Yeah, you don't get sick of Stone Cold Steve Austin because The Undertaker is lurking around the corner and he's trying to affect the WWF in a different way, and part of it is to get the WWF championship. A guy like Tommaso Ciampa, right? When Tommaso Ciampa was like sulking around the NXT title picture, yeah, he's chasing a good guy champion, but it feels like, to bring up Thanos again, he's an inevitability.
Right, yeah.
And so you're rooting that this inevitability doesn't happen. At the end of Die Hard, you hope that somebody's going to save William Wallace. And it just never happens. Yeah. And that's the feeling.
Braveheart.
Yeah, in Braveheart.
Yeah, because in Die Hard, I was like, wow.
Yeah, sorry.
He got Braveheart out of it. He made like four more.
Yeah, he made like four more.
Bruce William Wallace.
Raven. Raven is another one. He feels like an inevitability as the bad guy. And now he was messing with Tommy Dreamer, and that's a little different.
Yeah.
But the point is that there aren't any bad guys in the WWE that feel inevitable,
right?
Because it's like, yeah, Dolph Ziggler was wrestling for the WWE Championship today, and we all knew how that was going to turn out.
Exactly, right. And like, I agree with you that in theory, there's not like somebody, because like, the last time it felt like, uh-oh, it was Samoa Joe, and then he played Ding Dong Ditch, and we didn't talk about it.
Right.
And so I agree with you, although there is something to be said about the idea that why isn't that role that Baron Corbin is getting right now, which I just for the life of me do not think he is good enough for the spot, why isn't that Bray Wyatt? Why isn't that Samoa Joe?
So that's a guy where it's just like,
why isn't that Samoa Joe? Why isn't that what Samoa Joe's doing, is trying to piss off Seth Rollins right now?
Right.
You know what I mean?
You're absolutely right. Well, it's because he was the U.S. champion for some reason.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Or we could have just had Rey Mysterio give it to somebody else. You know what I mean? Or open it up to a tournament when he couldn't have the belt. And then, like, this is what Joe should be doing right now.
Right. You're absolutely right. And that's the problem, is that Baron Corbin doesn't feel like a threat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because the match was fine, but you don't care enough about
it. I don't care about Baron Corbin enough, right? Whereas it's like, if, let's just say Brock Lesnar the entire time, and you know what? I'm not going to use Brock Lesnar because that's a bad example, but Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman is like, Kofi Kingston, I'm coming for your WWE championship, right? And he's destroying people on the way, but he's constantly making it known that it's Kofi Kingston of, you know, that's who he wants. And so eventually, he finally gets his hands on Kofi Kingston. And you hope beyond hope that he's going to make it out alive.
Right.
But Braun Strowman has proven that he is a monster, and he breaks your heart by breaking Kofi Kingston. And that's compelling storytelling that WWE won't do because for some odd reason, we need to have them wrestle three times on pay-per-view and Kofi will skip out on the first one and then Barrett, he'll skip out and somehow beat him again the second time and then Baron Corbin will beat him. And it's just like, no, you know what was crazy? When Walter showed up and beat the bag out of Pete Dunne and then just took the championship because that guy's a monster and he's scary.
Yeah, right.
And it broke your heart. Because you wanted Pete Dunne to win. You wanted Pete Dunne to escape. And he just didn't. He couldn't.
I do think that's an overarching problem in WWE in general, is I'm not entirely sure they're building too much. One thing they are building to that wasn't part of this show at all, no Brock Lesnar.
Yep.
What do you think about that? Because I definitely want to know what you think about this, because I was talking to Bill about this earlier this afternoon. I'm sticking by my prediction that Brock Lesnar's not going to be successful with this briefcase. What do you think of that?
I don't think he's going to. I think he will be successful.
Okay.
Or
when and where? Just, you know, we're through another pay. I'm not putting you on the spot.
Yeah.
It's just like we're through another pay-per-view. When, regardless of what happens, when do you think the payoff is?
I mean, for this guy, it's going to be SummerSlam, Royal Rumble, or WrestleMania next
year. Do you think it's like announced, or it's like, here it is?
No, I still think that there's a lot of legs to the idea that if Seth Rollins is going to be the champion, Brock Lesnar has been douchey enough in this briefcase run, as short as it may be, to do what Seth Rollins did to him, where it's he's going to find himself in a situation much like tonight, but this isn't the stage for it, where it's like, yeah, I'm going to go down while you beat the bag out of Baron Corbin, and then I'm going to toss your ass out of the ring, and I'm going to pin Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
And now you didn't lose, and ha-ha, na-na-na-boo-boo, stick your head in doo-doo.
How does that feel?
How does that feel? You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's compelling, and that's interesting.
If he spins the belt around.
Yeah, I said it was very... I said when it happened, if it was all building to the Saudi Arabia show for him to cash in and win or wrestle or at the Saudi Arabia show for the Universal title, that was a fail. We are now... We are now in the rain, right? That didn't happen. He still has the briefcase. And yeah, there's a that match was okay, mostly because Baron Corbin's in it and don't care about Baron Corbin. But yeah, in the back of your mind, the whole time you're thinking, is Brock Lesnar going to just show up and win this thing?
The best thing they could do with Brock now is work you and do something they never actually do, but the internet thinks they do all the time, which is work you.
Right.
Work an injury, work a angle where all of a sudden you like, you know, have it be like Brett style where like three people know what's really going on, but Brock explodes in gorilla, right?
Right.
Tossing chairs, screaming at Vince, and only Vince, Hunter, Heyman, and Lesnar know what's going on, right? So the internet's all up in arms. You don't see Lesnar for months. And you hope people legitimately almost forget he has that case.
Right.
And then he just shows up. You know what I mean? Because I love Brock Lesnar with the case because I love him just being like around and part of this and who knows. But I also just want that guy to just sort of like, I want the moment to be big and different.
Right.
And I think that's a great way to do it. But we'll see. Because you're right. I don't think he's going to be successful because I think Brock Lesnar's held his last championship for that company. I think they're just going to use him often but differently. But if he does cash in, then something like that would be super cool.
The problem is and it's WWE's fault, right? Because they constantly paint themselves into corners in outer space that they don't need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't tout Seth Rollins as the Beast Slayer, right? And you acknowledge that it was like, yeah, man, at WrestleMania, he escaped with that title. He got lucky, hit him in the nuts, and he escaped with that title. You know, and so that way, when Brock Lesnar does now have this briefcase and now cashes in on a vulnerable Seth Rollins to then have Seth Rollins overcome all the adversity.
Which is, I think, what we're doing.
Which is, and again, this is the problem that WWE has, right? Where it's like, you want to have that moment without ever building the story blocks to get to that moment, because you've already anointed Seth Rollins as the Beast Slayer. You've already anointed him as the one who has been able to conquer the beast. He's beaten Brock Lesnar and it's like this triumphant hero, but then you want him to be afraid and oh no, I'm so nervous about Brock Lesnar. And it's like, well, you can't have it both ways.
And they don't know what they want because they want everybody presents it as, Brock Lesnar's the ultimate threat. This is the scare. You should be so crazy scared, but when they're ever face to face, Rollins is like, let's do this right here, right now. Right. Not that I need him to be shaking in his boots.
No, but you need to have character development, because you can have heroic false bravado, right? And be headstrong, but not, you know, just not be where you need to be in the story.
Here's something I want to talk about, and we'll expand on it more Wednesday night at 8 o'clock on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV, because I know that Stomping Grounds didn't take the world by storm, so this doesn't have to be the most comprehensive report the New Age Insiders have ever recorded.
I know.
We just want to give you our thoughts on it. This is what we do. We're live after every pay-per-view right here on these shows, so you know, we want you to get into that habit as well if you're new to twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. But, like I said, we'll cover everything else that we don't get to Wednesday. I want to talk about this, though, because, look, I understand that there's little risk and all that stuff and all that, but are you as surprised as I am that Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch are now an on-screen couple to the point where it affects the special guest referee in the main event?
Yeah, it's terrifying.
It's weird, right? Because here's the thing, and I just want to throw this out there. I'm not rooting against anybody. But you didn't learn anything from John Cena and Nikki Bella that these relationships, 99% of the time, do not last.
Right.
And so, like, look, I know people are just going to be like, well, yeah, then they can have an on-screen breakup. First of all, no, they won't, because it's going to be real and they're not going to want to do that, and you're not going to ask them to do that. And second of all, why would they have an on-screen breakup? Are they going to fight? No. So why would we
do it? Why would we care?
So what's going to happen is you're going to have two people at a championship level be an on-screen item, again, to the point now where it's affecting main events. And one day, quite frankly, they're going to break up, and then we're not going to talk about it anymore, even though they have been a championship power couple. And then one day, because they're going to break up, it's just going to stop.
That's
weird to me.
The dangerous part about this is this is fairly new from what I understand. You know,
yeah, very
few
recently.
Months.
Yeah, exactly. It took, if I'm not mistaken, John Cena and Nikki Bella were together for quite some time before they just accepted that you knew and had it bleed over.
Right.
Right.
But even still, that was WrestleMania 33. And that was the first time that we, like, acknowledged
really talked you know about it was
and
that program.
Aside from, like, Total Divas and stuff.
Yeah. Right. But that was, you know, of course, they're going to be hanging out at house together.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So that I put Total Divas in a completely separate bin. But, yeah, so it's like you've only been a thing for a couple of months. And so now we're
and I'm
power
sorry,
couple.
And I'm sorry, teenage girls across the Twitterverse. They're going to break up. Sorry, I said it. Well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're going to get married and have 11 kids and I'm going to look like an idiot. Or maybe they're going to be like every other actual wrestling couple other than don't send me pictures of Killian Dane and Crazy Pants. I'm talking about real world stuff where they're probably not going to.
Well,
and again,
it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. The thing with this particular situation is it proves that you didn't have a plan. Right?
Yeah, ever.
You didn't have a plan for who this special guest referee was.
Right, that should be a boilerplate.
Yeah, but that was it.
What do you think of Lacey Evans being the guest referee? We haven't talked about it. What do you think of it?
Again, I like it because it was very interesting. Seth Rollins is going around beating everybody up with a chair. And so we all sat here and it was just like, who's going to be the person that's going to not be scared to get beat up by Seth Rollins. You know what I mean?
Lady.
And so it's like, oh, Baron Corbin, that's very smart. You have a girl who has a beef with you secondarily because you're with the person she doesn't like. Mm-hmm. So now we got a thing. Okay. That's very interesting, and kudos to WWE.
She probably was, all things considered, best choice.
She was, because Seth Rollins isn't going to hit her, and Baron Corbin knows that. So there's a lot of actual, like, character and story that's built into here. The problem
is, can you believe it?
The problem is that we didn't build to it. You know what I mean? Like, you just pulled this surprise out of nowhere.
This is one of those things where I keep bringing everything to the Avengers and I hate it, but I'm sorry, but I love it. I understand some people's complaint that it's like, okay, so I have to watch the after credit scene of Ant-Man and the Wasp to really, really get Avengers, right? I get that it can be a little bit of frustrating, right?
Yeah, right.
But at the same time, they're movie sequels, so watch the movies or whatever. This one kind of gets me because now she's the referee in the match and affecting stuff and all that things.
Right.
And I have to now follow Twitter side stories to really, really know what's going on. That's my gripe about this. It's just like, look, I will play along and watch the longest weekly episodic television program in history, right? But now you're telling me that to super duper get the backstories, and not only just the backstories, now the main event and why they're the ref and why they're fighting. Now I have to follow Twitter drama.
Yeah.
It goes back to exactly what you were saying earlier in the show. You're asking a lot. You're asking people to watch, you know, 7 hours of TV and then the pay-per-view and then Facebook Live and mixed match challenges and bonus shows and Miz's reality show. And now I have to make sure I'm fully aware of who Becky Lynch is beefing with on Twitter this week. Yeah. And it's like, it's a lot. That's all I'm saying. It's a lot. You know what I mean?
Well, it's just like I was shocked when they actually mentioned that they were together.
Oh, and it's like a full-on thing now. They're like,
Right.
Did we get a subscriber or
something?
Yeah, we did. Yay. Thank you.
I keep thinking that's neighbors outside.
Yeah, we have thin walls, so thank you. Thank you to PDOY13. Yeah. You subscribed for 2 months. Thank you so much. We love you. Yeah.
But, yeah, it's weird. It was jarring because... Yeah, the only times that this has really happened at this type of level was like Stephanie and Hunter.
Yeah. And that was another thing where it's like, look, that was a story that turned into reality.
Right.
But this to me is, I think WWE just feeling like it to me, as weird as this might sound, the example that I'll give you actually reminds me a lot of what Jon Moxley went through, right? Where it's like all of a sudden there's this story, everybody knows, and they think it would be foolish. If not counterproductive to not get in front of the story. That's what I went with Jon Moxley. Dean Ambrose told somebody, I'm definitely, definitely leaving.
Right.
And then Sports Illustrated went, hey, this guy's leaving. And then like Bleacher Report and all the quote unquote real people like Fox Sports.
Yeah.
So it'd be like, hey, Dean Ambrose is leaving. And then WWE went, well, son of a bitch, we can do two things. We can lie and look stupid in 2 months. Or we can just be like, yeah, we love you. Sucks that you're leaving. We don't want you to. And we're even going to put it in the memo that we don't want you to. But the story is, the story exists. Let's try to get in front of it a little bit, I suppose. That's what I think in a microcosm kind of way is what's happening with Rollins and Lynch is because they're just like, well, because of Instagram and Twitter news sites and all that stuff, it's like everybody knows. So now we have to make it a thing. It's like, no, those can be two separate things. They don't have to be a couple on screen just because we know. You know what I mean?
Off.
I think they got spooked so bad what happened with Lana and Rusev that they're like, well, we just got to be in control of it then. If it's going to happen, we have to be in control of it. Because Lana and Rusev were supposed to be fighting, and then they got engaged on Instagram. And you know what I mean? And so it's like they just feel like they just have to be in control of these stories. You know what I mean?
Right,
and it's
just
like, and I think that's what we're seeing right now more so than anything else. I think
it's just going to be interesting to kind of see where that goes.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know.
All right. So let's take a look at the poll.
Do you want to know what the most interesting thing that happened was? Is the continuation that they're going to try and build the club.
What's up with that?
I don't know, especially because everything that I've heard...
They're like doing like a Japan thing, huh?
Right, but everything that I've heard is that Gallows and Anderson are done.
Yeah, and you'd think so. But I've also heard that they're basically, weirdly enough, like this, like the face of this Japanese expansion thing they're doing.
And so, I don't know much about the Japanese expansion, but yeah, that's...
It's always good to see AJ Styles just looking for something to do.
Yeah. Well, you know Baron Corbin is in the main
event. Well, Baron Corbin and Dolph Ziggler main event. It's always good to see AJ Styles just looking for something to do.
Just trying to reform the club, even though the OG original leader is hanging out, not on this show.
We want to know what you thought of Stomping Grounds, and right now 53% of the audience would give it a B, 16% an A. Which by my math means that 69% of the audience, hilariously, would give it a pretty good grade, and I thought so too. So just kind of the bullet points as we wrap this thing up, because anything else that we're going to talk about, we'll do it on Wednesday night on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. Becky Lynch beat Lacey Evans, who went on to be the referee. All the belts, let's talk about the only title that changed hands.
Yes.
Your new United States champion in Ricochet. What do you think of that?
I think it's smart, because it gets Ricochet back on track. A little bit to just kind of catapult him back into people's conscious and like build something forward. It also gets Samoa Joe away from the mid-card championship, because if we need a bad guy that's going to be interesting to go for the Universal Championship, I think we should all point to Samoa Joe.
Yeah, there's just a long list of people that it's just like, oh, I wish you were doing just something a little bit more. And I like that Samoa Joe was the United States champion, but he wasn't doing much. But Ricochet is like, you know, here's the thing. Championships don't just cure things. It's nice to know that they have confidence in him to put a title on him, and that is a cool thing, and I'm going to take it as a cool thing and a positive. But going from doing nothing to doing being a champion doing nothing is feels like a lateral move and maybe a slight step forward. I am happy that he's a main roster title holder. I'm glad that he's now an even more significant part of this show. That dude's awesome. But yeah, there's just something to be said about, like, who are you? Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
What are your motivations? You're one of 50 people on this roster that's told me it's been your dream to be in this company. We get it. You're 30. You watched Steve Austin. That's everybody's story, dude. And that's your fault, because they're not, like, giving you much to work with or whatever. But, like, yeah, so far, Ricochet's been on the main roster for months. He's won a title now, and all I know about him is he's super athletic and really wants to be here. And it's like, well, no, there's got to be more than you than that. There's got to be. There was more to Prince Puma than that. He didn't talk. You know what I mean?
No.
And so it's like, you've got to give me more. I'm happy for him. I like him. It gives me even more reason to believe he'll be on TV regularly, which is great. But championships aren't cure-alls. And so, like, as you look up and down this roster of people that are looking for things to do and who they are and all this stuff, the United States Championship doesn't solve that.
No, it doesn't.
That's what I'll say. I thought Stomping Ground was a good show, better than I expected it to be. And I'm excited to talk even more about what happens on the Fallout Wednesday night on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. Is there anything you'd like to get out there before we sign off? To all the great Stomping Grounds fans out there.
No, that's it.
Terrific. Thank you for joining us. We are live on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV after every WWE pay-per-view that we do not attend. We're live again on Wednesday night, 8 o'clock, right back here on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. We're going to be bringing you a lot more fun and streams, and we hope you're enjoying this new, beautiful set. As Liam said on Wednesday, if you have art, an original piece, something that you would like to get up there and put on the shelves, we'd love to have it and give you full credit and show it off for you. We'll send us a DM. We'll let you know how you can get it over here. We'd love your knickknacks, paddywhacks, original pieces of art to be hanging up here. There's original pieces of art all over the place already. We'd love more. Thank you for joining us. My name's been Jason Malta.
I'm Liam Steger.
And I'm Bill Neville.
We are the New Age Insiders. You can find us on Twitter. Please do. We are at New Age Insiders, at Liam NAI, at Bill Neville NAI, the website, newageinsiders.com. Please subscribe on patreon.com/newageinsiders. We had Flip Gordon join us this week to talk all about what he looks for in a contract, what makes him happy, what wrestling happiness really means in 2019, and a whole lot more. Tons of episodes and a lot of fun. patreon.com/newageinsiders. twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV is how you can subscribe there as well. We hope to see you guys on Wednesday. Thank you so much for joining us and making us the premier place for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
We out.